We're all familiar with the little bracelet and slogan, WWJD. What would Jesus do? I want to change that a little bit to WWJW. What would Jesus want? Or wanting what Jesus wants? In Matthew chapter 8, we have the story in the beginning of this chapter about a leper. Let's read it. Matthew 8:1. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. I want to read that again for you in the Message Bible. Jesus came down the mountain with cheers of the crowd still ringing in his ears. Then a leper appeared and went to his knees before Jesus, praying, Master, if you want to, you can heal my body. Jesus reached out and touched him, saying, I want to. Be clean. Then and there, all signs of the leprosy was gone. What would Jesus want? If he could have what he wants in your life, in your church, in your community, what would he want? And do you want what he wants? Notice the leper didn't say, if you are able. This was not a question in the leper's mind. He said, I know that if you want to, you can heal me. It wasn't a matter of, Lord, are you powerful enough? Are you able enough? Is it within your power, your resources to heal me? That wasn't the question in the leper's mind. It was a settled fact in his mind that the Lord could. He just wasn't sure if the Lord wanted to. Maybe he didn't want to because the leper wasn't worthy. Maybe he didn't want to because of what the leper had done. Maybe he didn't want to because he just didn't want to today. But if he wanted to, the leper knew that he could be healed. He confessed that. Today, we know that Christ is able to heal us. We know just as he's able to save us from our sins, so he is able to heal us from our sickness. In fact, the Word of God says that he forgave us all of our sins and he healed us all of our infirmities. By his stripes, the word says, we were healed just as we were saved, past tense. We know too that there is nothing impossible, nothing too difficult with God. With man, things are impossible, but not with God. He is well able, exceedingly beyond our ability to ask or even to imagine. He is the Lord God who heals you. That's settled. Then Jesus answered this leper and he said, I will. He said, I want to. It's not a question about his willingness. I will. God is not some cruel kind of God who is moody. Some days he wants to and some days he doesn't want to. And you don't know which God you're going to meet today. Is he going to be the God who wants to today or the God who doesn't want to today? He's not saying, I can, but I just don't feel like it. Are you ever in that kind of mood? I can do it, but I just don't want to. I don't feel like it today. How many of you didn't feel like getting out in 15 degree below zero? You wanted to stay in bed, but you did it anyway. Yeah. He's not a moody kind of God, depending on which way the wind is blowing, how he feels today. Some wonder why God won't do it. They see him as this powerful God who withholds the good stuff from our life. They wonder, what do I have to do to get his favor, to get him to want to? Knowing that he is able to, but wonder if he will want to, if he's in the mood. But he is the God who will. He is the God who wants to. The word says that he will not withhold any good gift to them that believe. It says that he didn't even spare his son, but offered him up. Will he not now, or will he now withhold any good gift? No. His blessings wash over us continue like the waves along the seashore. In fact, even when the tide is out, the blessings of God continue to roll over us. The songwriter says, he giveth and he giveth again. He giveth more grace. His grace is always sufficient. The question being asked is not if he will, but if it is your will. Jesus prayed that prayer in the garden. After the prayer, he ended it by saying, but not my will, but your will be done. And he taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth, in my need, in my life. Just as your will is done in heaven. You see, that prayer is a prayer, it's not a begging prayer, it's a prayer of surrender. It's the prayer of surrendering our will. It's saying, Lord, not as I want, but as you want, just like everything is done according to your want in heaven, according to your will in heaven. I'm saying to you now, God, in my life, in my situation, in my condition, in this issue of my life, I'm saying, let your will be done. Just like your will is done in heaven. Just like heaven has surrendered itself to you fully and completely, I surrender myself to you fully and completely. It is God's will to bless us and to fulfill his kingdom plan in us and through us. This does not mean that he's willing to sacrifice us in order to accomplish his purpose. We are important to him. He doesn't just have a plan and a purpose and the people don't matter, just my purpose and my plan. No, no, that's not it at all. We sing about his goodness, his love today, and he is a good God, a kind God, a loving God always. But his purpose for us is an action of his love for us. It's God's will to bless us, to fulfill his kingdom. His kingdom's plan for you and me is always good. It is always best. If we could see the end, we would always pick his choice for us. The Bible says he sees the end from the beginning. And if we could see the end, we would always pick what he chooses for us. Because in the end, what he wants for you and me is always the best. His will is always best. The question to ask then is, what would Jesus want if he could pick for me? We need to see him as a loving heavenly Father, always blessing us with his very best gifts of heaven and earth, withholding nothing good from us ever, giving us all that we need to be the very best we can be, even beyond our ability to imagine. If we could see him in this light, we would gladly let him choose for us, knowing that he wisely would always choose the very best for us. The songwriter said, "You can choose for me if I should go or stay. Lord, I let you choose for me. You make the choice." He calls out to us and invites us to sit down with him and reason together. Listen, it's okay for us to sit down with him and reason, saying, "Lord, I think this seems good for me. In fact, as I know your word, and as I study your word, it seems to fit into your kingdom plan, according to your word." I've prayed that often. I've said, "God, listen, here's what I would like done for me or for my family or my church. And Lord, as I consider the options and the choices, this just seems wise according to what I know about your plan and according to what I know about your word. And so, Lord, it's not just this is what I want, but it seems to me that this is a good plan according to your purpose and to your kingdom as I understand it." It's okay to reason with God that way. And I often pray that way concerning my children and my grandchildren, my church. I pray, "God, this is what I want, but I don't want it just because I'm selfish. I want it, Lord, because this seems wise. This seems good." But at the end, we must confess, however, "Lord, my seeing is limited. My thinking is limited. My knowledge is limited. My wisdom is limited. So, Lord, I will let you choose for me. I want more than anything for you to have what you want, for me to have what you want for me. What would you want, Jesus?" Surrendering your will to the Father, saying, "Your will be done, your kingdom come," saying, "Not my will, but your will is what I want." Listen, that's not a sign of a lack of faith, but a true sign of complete trust. If Jesus prayed this prayer, why wouldn't we pray that prayer? Is this not then a good prayer for us to pray? It's the Abba Father prayer. You know, there came along a kind of a little doctrine saying, I'm a king's kid. I'm a king's kid. And along with that doctrine came this idea of, I'm spoiled. I get what I want. I'm a king's kid. I can have whatever I well please to have. All I have to do is say, "Gimme." And it's mine, because I'm a king's kid. And if my daddy doesn't want to give it to me, I'll just curl up in his lap and say, "Oh, please, I'm your favorite." I have a granddaughter that wants me to confess to her that she's my favorite. And I say, "Well, you're my favorite blonde granddaughter in South Dakota." because I have some other granddaughters. But I'm your favorite, and I know I'm your favorite, Grandpa. And she likes it that her grandma has spoiled her. Sometimes I do too. You know, to her grandma, all she has to say is, please. And she gets it. And we have this attitude when it comes to God. The enemy doesn't want to give it to me. If I say it sweetly enough and convince him that I'm his favorite, he'll give it to me because I'm his favorite after all. Listen, that's not the Abba prayer. Abba Father prayer. The Abba Father prayer is, my Heavenly Father, I know that you love me. I know that you are always good. And you're all wise. And I will trust you. Whatever you want, I want. Whatever you want, I receive. Whatever in your wisdom you don't want for me, I don't want it either. That's Abba Father. We need to know the Father in that manner. That whatever he wants is what I want. Often we'll discover that our will is surrendered to the will of the Father. By that I mean, as surrendered and discipled Christians, we have come to understand the ways of God and we desire them for ourselves. We know that what he wants, and we are learning to want it too. Until you have placed yourself in his trust, that is, in the place where he has the power of attorney over you. A place where he has the right to choose for you. Until you are there, you'll never fully receive what God wants for you. God's word is clear that even as praying saints, we don't always understand what God wants. So he instructs us to pray in the Spirit. Because the Spirit does indeed know the will of the Father, the want of the Father. And he will pray the Father's will for us so that we may receive what the Father wills, what the Father wants for us. There are times when we know clearly what Jesus wants for us, but we are not sure if we want it for us. I've had people in my office coming to me with situations in their life, and I sometimes ask them this question: what do you think Jesus would want for you in this situation if he could get what he wants? And I've been amazed that most every time they knew what Jesus wanted for them, if he could get what he wants. But some of them have sat across my desk, even after confessing they knew what Jesus wanted, they would look at me and say, Pastor, but I'm not sure I want that. And I've said to them, that's a dangerous feeling, to know what Jesus wants and to not want it. To know what he wants, but to say, but God, I want this other anyway. You see, the Bible says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. For you to know the will of God, the want of God for you, and not want it. The Bible is clear, that's sin. to come to that place of trust in God where you want and desire more than anything else what Jesus wants for you is a place of spiritual maturity, is a place of great faith, great trust, God's will, God's plan for you. And you're now willing to accept it no matter what it looks like or feels like. Because you trust God to always do good, to never make a mistake. Isn't that amazing? God never makes a mistake. He never has to apologize to you and say, I'm sorry, I just didn't see that coming. You trust God to always do good, to never make a mistake. Then, my dear friend, you have come to a place of great faith, of complete trust. It is a place of wonderful peace, rest, and joy. To know that you have surrendered your day to God and your future, you have surrendered this situation fully to God. Say, God, I'm just going to trust you in this. I know you never make a mistake. And God, I want completely what you want. Then he'll be able to say to you, I will. Wanting what Jesus wants. WWJW. Do you want today what Jesus wants? For you, for your family, for your future, for your church, for your relationships. Are you in that place? You say, I want what you want. Let your want be done in my life just as it is in heaven. Praise God. You wanted a new pastor. You got one. I believe you got the want of God done. There may be things going on in your life, in your relationships, in your atmosphere, in your situation today, that you're just wondering, God, why don't you? This is what I want, God. This is what I desire, God. How come you're not, God? Will you, God? Do you want to, God? Instead of saying, God, what do you want? What is your will? Because I want what you want. And today I'm surrendering myself to you, and I'm saying, you have your way. You choose. You know what I want, God, I've already told you that. But if my want is out of sorts with your want, then God, I want what you want. Have your way. Father, we thank you that your vision is not limited. Your wisdom is not limited. That you know the end from the beginning. You know how to get us there. I thank you that I know that you are always good and always kind and always merciful and will not withhold any good thing from me. I thank you. I know that you love me, and I know that you are powerful enough. And I know that your resources have no end. And so, God, I surrender myself completely to you, that you may have your way and that your way may be fulfilled in my life. And I pray the prayer you prayed, not my will, your will be done. I pray the prayer you taught me to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in my life, just as it is in heaven. Praise God. Those who are going to serve the community.